the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Now, we've just been hearing from Cara about the new Irish movie Once Upon a Time in a Cinema and its maker, director and writer, I presume, to it. David Gleeson is with us now. David, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
How many movies have you been involved in making?
Oh, involved in? A lot. How many have seen it through to production? Two that I wrote, and this is my fourth movie as a writer and director.
Okay, and you've directed other movies, have you?
Yeah, yeah. I wrote and directed every movie I've directed, I also wrote, so I'll keep it short. I wrote and directed Cowboys and Angels, which was a coming-of-age movie set in Limerick. And that was in 2003. And then I did The Front Line, which is a bank robbery heist movie here in Dublin. And then I wrote the movie Tolkien, which is a biopic of J.R.R. Tolkien with Lily Collins and Nicholas Hoult. So I wrote that in 17. And that same year, I had a movie called Don't Go in cinemas. In hindsight, we were thinking maybe that wasn't the best name, you know, movie called Don't Go, starring Stephen Dorff and Melissa George. And this is me returning to my roots with Once Upon a Time in a Cinema.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit more about your own background in movies.
So basically, my grandfather opened up a cinema in Cappamore, County Limerick in 1942. He had bought a Nissan shed, which was left behind by German engineers when they were electrifying the parish. And he rented out that shed to a travelling showman, which his name was Billy Walsh, and he used to tour around the county with a tractor and a generator and a few cans of Laurel and Hardy short movies. And he would go to various communities and he would rent out the local hall and show movies. So my grandfather saw the money that he was making and he thought, hang on a minute, there's money in this picture business.
So he was an entrepreneur rather than a movie lover.
Correct. Yeah, and he opened up the cinema a few nights a week and moved on to his next project as an entrepreneur and left my father, who was obsessed with movie projectors and movies, to take over the business, which my father did at the age of 12 in 1942. And my father worked continuously in the business until he retired at the age of 89 in 2020. So I think he had probably the longest career in cinema in the world, 79 years continuous.
And he passed on that love to you as well, did he?
He did very much, yeah. It's absolutely genetic. For me, it was more than a job, it was a calling, as if to the priesthood.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about growing up in it all. What sort of things did you do in the cinema?
Well, the first job, I'm one of seven, and my father was in partnership with his brother, so there was two families involved. And our first job was you were handed a paper bag and a little paintbrush, and your job was sweeping out the ash and the cigarette butts from the little ashtrays at the backs of seats. That tells you how long ago that was. And then, you know, so I took tickets. I worked behind a shop when I was old enough. I was a projectionist. I made up the films disastrously, as often has to be said.
How do you mean made up the films?
Basically, the movies, and this is actually a plot point in the actual Once Upon a Time in the Cinema. Basically, the films used to come in big metal boxes, and they would come in five different reels. So you would have to splice the reels together. And often by the time these movies reached little country cinemas, it could be a year, 2 years later, and they would have been to 75 other cinemas all around Europe.
And they've been damaged.
And they would have been damaged. So you would have to run the film through your fingers, feeling for bad splices. And you would have to stop and, you know, maybe cut out a few frames and splice it together. You know, so it was really labor intensive.
Leading to groans from the audience.
Leading to groans sometimes from the audience with like entire third acts missing on occasion. You know, one time the entire movie disappeared somewhere between Ennis and Limerick Junction. You know, we found it in someone's garden an hour before the show. There was all kinds of disasters. Now it's all digital. You know, there's no more making up the movies. But yeah, I mean, you go and watch a 35mm projection now, a movie, you know, if you could go back in time and watch the kind of movie that you saw back in the 80s, you'd be horrified. You know, it was like full of scratches and sound pops and, you know, whole frames missing, frames jumping.
And did people mind?
No, not remotely. You know, I mean, they minded if, you know, if you couldn't actually see the movie. Occasionally,
or if people, you didn't get the ending of it.
Yeah, I mean, that was a big one. That didn't happen too much. And if someone complained, they were usually English or whatever, you know. Irish people were just kind of too easygoing and kind of used to that.
But if you were doing all of this work, when did you get time to watch the movies?
Oh, God. I mean, I didn't always do that work. You know, my uncle and my father and other higher projectionists, you know, did that kind of intensive labor. The few times I was allowed to make up films, I was so disastrous, you know. I would mix up reels and everything that they were reluctant to allow me to do that. But part of it was, and this was my film school, was just being forced to stand inside the cinema with a torch, making sure the crowd behaved themselves and watching the same movie 14, 15, 16 times, you know. So that was
no matter how good or how bad they were.
No matter how good or how bad. Now, and you could often learn as much from a bad movie as a good movie. But even the best movie, once you've seen it about 15 times, you know, it becomes the worst movie.
And then this was in the era in which VHS cassettes and home movies and Extravision and everything was becoming more popular. And how did you manage to keep the cinema going in the family?
We always battled through, you know. I mean, VHS and everything was just one obstacle. My whole life, the cinema has been under threat. Basically, one of the first threats was the introduction. Like, we've been in the business since 1942. And one of the big threats in the late 40s, long before I was born, was the introduction of the wireless in people's houses. And after that, it was the introduction of dance halls. And after that, it was the introduction of RTE television and then colour television and then pub lounges, believe it or not. That's one that's often overlooked. Pub lounges was a big threat. And then videos in pub lounges and then VHS. But VHS was just one more threat, you know, which we survived. And VHS ended up actually being good for the film industry. And now we're in the age of streaming, you know, where it's yet another existential threat. You know, but it has ever been thus.
It seems an awful lot of cinemas have had to make enormous investments in comfort and also in producing. Now, in some cases, it almost seems like almost full meals are getting delivered to the seats.
Yeah.
Do you think that is going to keep people going to the cinema? What is it when you have the comfort of your own home and perhaps don't have to pay the price, which still brings people back to the cinema?
It's the movies. You know, it is the movies. But I feel what is missing and what is always overlooked is the sense of showmanship in cinemas today. You know, if you walk in before the movie has started, there's no music playing. You're sitting in a silent auditorium. And sometimes you kind of feel like you miss that loving hand.
Well, for years, it's been ads and promos for forthcoming attractions.
Yeah. Yeah, it always was that. But most of these cinemas in smaller towns throughout the country and here in Dublin were usually family owned. So there was a personal investment in it and you had a local manager who cared about his cinema. And, you know, so it felt like a more welcoming environment. And I personally, and it's actually addressed in the movie, it's a line in the movie, but I miss that sense of, you know, the lights dimming, the music, the volume going down, and the curtains slowly opening.
So it's a sense of occasion.
Exactly. You know, and I think you can put in all the comfy seats and all the meal service you want, but if it just feels like a cold, corporatized environment with no kind of loving hand at the helm, I think that's what we're missing and that's kind of what's overlooked today.
So are you hoping everyone gets to see Once Upon a Time in a cinema in an actual movie theatre? Well, you're hardly going to complain if people end up watching it on a streaming service, are you?
No, of course not. I'm just happy if it reaches any kind of an audience. But it is a movie, you know, designed to be seen in a cinema, as every movie is. But it works either way. It's a movie about people, you know. So I'm happy if it elicits emotion in any kind of format. But it is a movie that celebrates cinema audiences, you know. So it is a special thing to see it in a cinema. And we actually had the Limerick premiere last week in the actual cinema where the movie was shot.
Which one is that?
The Royal Cinema
That's not still open as a working cinema, though, is it?
No, that's the cinema that closed in 1985. It had been in operation for 70 years. And the last movie shown there was Police Academy 2. You know, so we were the first film in decades to screen there. After that cinema closed, it became a music venue. The Father Ted Eurovision episode was shot there, and the Cranberries played their early gigs there. You know, so it's got quite a storied history.
And does your family still have any cinemas?
No, we were incredibly fortunate. My father retired at the age of 89, like I said, and he was in business by that stage with my sister. And about a month before COVID hit, he sold his cinema in Neenah to the Omniplex Group. So he was extremely fortunate. He managed to ride the entire film industry right to the very end. And that cinema is still going strong in Neenah. So that's our legacy.
Well, congratulations on your movie, Once Upon a Time in a Cinema. Hope it goes great for you. David Gleeson, thank you very much for being with us on the programme.
Thank you, Matt.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.